B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Daf Yud Tes. We're going to start from the Mishnah, three lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ein koisvin shtori choiv b'moed on chol ha-moed. One should not write shtori choiv, which is loan documents, legal documents. V'meinoi ma'aminoi. But if you do not believe the borrower that he's going to pay you back and you have to record the loan, Oy she'ein loy ma'yoichal, or if the scribe doesn't have what to eat and therefore he's allowed to write in order to be able to have what to eat over Yom Tov, harei zayichtov, then he's allowed to write this document. Says the Mishnah, in koisvin sforim, one does not write sforim, typically sifrei Torah, tefillin u'mezuzois, which is, we all know what that is, b'moed on chol ha-moed. Ve'ein magihin ois achas, and we do not even correct a single letter in a sefer Torah, afilu b'sefer Ezra, that's the version we have here, even in Ezra's sefer Torah, which was a very prominent sefer Torah, it was the one that was used and copied from, and even there, which was important that sefer Torah is whole and perfect, you're not allowed to fix it up on chol ha-moed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kosev adam tefillin u'mezuzos le'atzmoy, a person is allowed to write tefillin and mezuzos for himself. If a person needs to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin or fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah, he needs a mezuzah, then he's allowed to do it, but he's not allowed to sell it, to sell mezuzahs or tefillin that he's writing on chol ha-moed. It's not, you can't give it for the public on sale, because that's a type of a schiros, it's work on chol ha-moed, which you mustn't do. But if you need tefillin or you need a mezuzahs, then you're allowed to write it on chol ha-moed, and there's a discussion if this lends itself to being aside in the discussion on whether one wears tefillin on chol ha-moed. V'tove al yorechi, tcheles l'tzitzisoi. If somebody wants to make tcheles, which is the threads for the tzitzis, and he needs to spin those threads, then he has to do it with a shinui. How does he do that? Then he spins them on his thigh, not with a spindle and not between his fingers, rubbing them together, and that way he's spinning the threads. He's got to do it by rubbing it onto his thigh, and that's an unusual way of doing it, and you're allowed to do that this way on chol ha-moed. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Kosev Adam Tfilin u'mezuzos le'atzmoy, a person is allowed to write tfilin and mezuzos for himself if he needs them on chol ha-moed. V'tova al yorechoy, and he can spin on his thigh, tcheles le'tzitzisoy, the tcheles for his tzitzis. U'la'achirim, if he wants to do any of these things for other people, then betoiva. You can do it not for pay. You can do it as a favor. Divi Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. And this is assuming that he has what to eat, and therefore there's no reason that you should be making money by doing this on chol ha-moed. So Reb Meir says, you want to do it as a favor, you can do it as a favor, but not as a melocha, which means as a sale. When it's a sale, it's considered a melacha. But even Reb Meir would agree that if he doesn't have what to eat, he's allowed to even do these things in order to have money for Yom Tov and sell it to others. Reb Yehuda Omer, Reb Yehuda says, Marim, you can do this type of a shtickle, a type of a scheme. U'moicher es sheloi, v'choizev v'koisev la'atzmoy. A person's got his own tefillin, or mezuzahs, so he'll sell his own, and then now he needs them. He can write for himself. Reb Yehuda Omer, koisev u'moicher kedarkoi, Kadei Paranasosi. Rabbi Yossi says that even though he's got what to eat, he's got his basic livelihood, but he wants extra sustenance, extra profits, extra harvacha, he's allowed to do that on chol ha-moed. Oyri le Rav l'Rav Chananel. Rav taught Rav Chananel, v'omri lo Rabbi Bar Bar Chono l'Rav Chananel. Others say it wasn't Rav, it was Rabbi Bar Bar Chono that taught Rav Chananel. Halacha, koisev u'meicher kedarkei kedei parnasasei, that as Rabbi Yossi said, one's allowed to write the tefillin and sell them in a regular fashion on chol ha-moed. Continues the Gemara. V'tova al yorechei tcheles, we saw in the Mishnah that you're allowed to spin. If you need to spin the threads, the tcheles threads for the tzitzis on chol ha-moed, you can spin them on his thigh, which is an unusual way of doing it. Tonu Rabbonon, tova odom al yorechoi tcheles l'tzitzisei, avaloi be'even. He's not allowed to use a stone, to hang a stone at the end of the thread, and that way it's easier to spin it and to weave it. No. Divi Reb Eliezer, that's the opinion of Reb Eliezer, v'chachomim oimrim af be'even. The chachomim say you're even allowed to spin it with a stone. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nishmoy, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that be'even, you're allowed to do it with a stone, avloy bepelach, but not with a spindle. The Chachomim say, bein be'even, bein bepelach. Even with a spindle, and definitely with a stone, you're allowed to spin the cheles on Chol HaMoed. Omer Avyuda Mashmul, v'chein Omer Abchia Bar Abba, Omer Bi'ichnon, halocha bein bepelach, bein be'even, bein bepelach. The halocha is that you can spin these threads even with a stone and a spindle. V'halocha kesev kedarko yomecha k'dei parnasasei. As we saw before, the halocha is like Rabbi Yosi, that he can write the tefillin and sell them k'dei parnasasei on Chol HaMoed. Now, the Mishnah only spoke about making tzitzis with a shinui, with an unusual way, and not about the writing of the tefillin and mezuzos. And Tosfos says here that tefillin and mezuzos, you cannot write them in an unusual way, because there's a halacha of ksiva tamo, something we've learnt about already, but to do tefillin and mezuzos have to be written in a usual fashion, and if you do anything unusual whilst writing the the writing of the tefillin and mezuzos, then they might be possible. Says the next Mishnah, Hakover es meisoy shloisha yomim koidem l'regel. If somebody buried one of their seven close relatives, father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, wife, with at least 3 days before Yom Tov, which means that by the time Yom Tov sets in, he's already sat Shiva for 3 days, then batla himenu gzeiras Shiva. Then the restrictions of Shiva, they become batla, they become, they're no more applicable. Shmoina, if he buried somebody, a relative, 8 days before, which means that the entire Shiva is over. And the first day after Shiva, which is when the halachas of Shloshim, the Shloshim halachas also apply in Shiva, but the halachas of Shloshim primarily start after Shiva. And therefore, if the first day of the Shloshim was before Yom Tov, which is day 8 after the burial, then Botli Menu Gzeiras Shloshim, then the Gzeiras Shloshim, the halachas, the restrictions of Shloshim, no longer apply. Mepnei she'omu, because they said as follows. And now we're going to discuss, and just before we learn the Mishnah inside, just a short introduction so we should easily understand what we're about to read. We know that there's a concept called Shiva as a concept called Shloshim. Now let's discuss the Shiva. What happens if in the middle of Shiva you have Shabbos? Somebody buried a close relative on a Tuesday. So you've got Tuesday, sat Shiva, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 days he sat Shiva, and then it's Shabbos. What does Shabbos do to Shiva? What does Yom Tov do to Shiva? If you're sitting, somebody was, Rachmon Litzlan, sitting Shiva before Yom Tov, and then Yom Tov sets in. Now, is there a difference between a Yom Tov, which in and of its own right is a week long, like Pesach and Sukkot, or Shavuos, which is just 1 day? And what about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Now, the difference between the Atzeres, I mean Shavuos, it has similarities to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the fact that it's not a week long. It has similarities to Yom Tov, that number one, it's called a Yom Tov, and number two, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, even though Shavuos proper was only 1 day, but there's 7 days of Tashlumim. It has certain halachas of Yom Tov because you can bring the Korbanos of Shavuos for the whole week. So there's some connection between Shavuos and the other Yomim Tovim. How do these four things, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, influence and affect the halachas of Shiva? And now let's try and understand the different opinions that are going to be mentioned. So the Tanakhama brings, and at least in this Mishnah, nobody's going to argue with that, that we're just discussing Shabbos and a regular 7 day Yom Tov, which is Pesach and Sukkot. With regarding Shabbos, the halacha is oile v'loy mafsik, which means that if the day of Shabbos, which is 1 day of the week, is anywhere within the 7 days of Shiva, it's considered as one of the days, which means if somebody unfortunately starts sitting Shiva on Thursday, Thursday is day 1, Friday is day 2, and Sunday is day 4. Shabbos is day 3, even though many of the halachas are not practiced on Shabbos, but Shabbos is called Oile, it's counted as one of the Shiva days. V'loy mafsik, it doesn't interrupt the Shiva, which means Shiva continues on Motzah Shabbos, after Shabbos is over. That's regarding Shabbos. Regarding Yom Tov, says the Tanakhama, mafsik v'loy Oile, which means that the Yom Tov days are not included in the Shiva, and the Yom Tov actually breaks away the Shiva. I mean, if somebody started sitting Shiva 4 days before Yom Tov, for argument's sake, so you have day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5 is Yom Tov, that's it. There's no more Shiva. Day five is not considered a day of Shiva, and after Yom Tov, you don't catch up the Shiva, you don't make it up, you don't, the Shiva is over. That is called Mafsik. It interrupts the Shiva, Veloy Oile, and the Yom Tov days are not counted as the one of the Shiva days. That is the basic halachas which everybody's going to agree on in this Mishnah. However, the reasoning is going to be argued. There's a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel exactly how to understand this. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says logic dictates that you're in the middle of Shiva. So if Shabbos, certain halachas you don't practice because of Shabbos, Yom Tov, certain halachas are not practiced because it's Yom Tov, okay. But the logic would dictate, says Rabbi Eliezer, that Shabbos, as with any of these other days, is oile v'loy mafsik. It's one of the days, and there's no reason it should interrupt the Shiva. That means after Shabbos, business as usual. Unfortunately, it's not business as usual, it's Shiva, but Shiva continues as usual. And therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, definitely it's oile and v'loy mafsik. However, when it comes to a long Yom Tov, that every Yom Tov, let's start with Pesach and Sukkot, it's a seven-day Yom Tov, which means there's never going to be Shiva after it. If Shabbos was 7 days long, then after Shabbos starts, there would never be a continuation of the Shiva. So says Rabbi Eliezer, when it comes to a seven-day Yom Tov, then at that point, it must be that's going to be, so to speak, the exception, and it's going to be that it's mafsik v'loy oile. It must be that the Shiva just terminates at the onset of Yom Tov. So that's regarding a regular seven-day Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is just 1 day, then, or Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, but let's call it 1 day, something we discussed in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, 1 day, like Shabbos, it's oile v'loy mafsik. Now what's with Shavuos? Shavuos is interesting, because Shavuos is be'etzem, it's 1 day, but it has, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you could bring the korbanos for 7 days, so it had certain elements of a seven-day Yom Tov. Says Rebbe Eliezer, okay, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it had the status of a Yom Tov, and when Shavuos came, it was mafsik v'loy oile. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there's no more korbanos, it's just a one-day Yom Tov. It reverts back to the same as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Shabbos. There's no reason it should interrupt the Shiva, and it has the same status as Shabbos. That's what Rebbe Eliezer says. We're going to see at the end, the Chachomim actually agree to Rebbe Eliezer, but just they say that Shavuos, since in the time of the Beis HaMikdash it was a seven-day Yom Tov, it retains that status of a seven-day Yom Tov, even when there's no Korbanos and there's no Tashlumim and it's just a one-day Yom Tov. Nonetheless, the concept of Shavuos is associated to a seven-day period, and therefore Shavuos, even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, has the same status as Pesach and Sukkot. That's the only machlokes between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachomim at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel takes a very different approach. Rabbi Gamliel says that we're going the other way around. Yom Tov is a day that the restrictions of Shiva are not practiced. Logic would dictate that when Yom Tov comes, that's it. There's no more Shiva, Shiva's over. And that's called, as we know, mafsik v'lo eile. It interrupts the 7 days of Shiva, and the Shiva halachas, and it's not even considered as one of the Shiva days. That's it, Shiva's over. That is what, since you don't comply with the halachas and restrictions of Shiva on Yom Tov, logic dictates that from Yom Tov there's no more Shiva. And therefore, says Rabbi Gamliel, a regular 7 day Yom Tov is definitely the case. Shavuos, even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, has nothing to do with the Korbanis. Yom Tov interrupts, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the same thing. However, he says the exception here is actually Shabbos. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer says that Shabbos is our guiding light, that it's oile v'loy mafsik, and therefore Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur follows that, and Shavuos, if there's no Korbanos, follows that. Rebbe Gamliel says no, the guiding light is Yom Tov. Yom Tov always interrupts Shiva, and therefore Shavuos, in any which time, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur certainly is like a Yom Tov, and it's mafsik v'loy oile. However, Shabbos is the exception according to Rabbi Gamliel, because he says there is no week without a Shabbos. If you're going to say that Shabbos is also like Yom Tov, that since you don't practice the halachas of Shabbos, therefore Shiva is now going to be over, is going to be interrupted and finished, you're never ever going to have Shiva. Because whenever you started the Shiva, if you started on Wednesday, comes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, that's it. So when are you ever going to have a week of Shiva? So it must be that by virtue of the fact that every week has a Shabbos, and that there's a halacha of Shiva for the whole week, it must be that Shabbos is oilev lo mafsik, is counted as Shiva and does not interrupt the Shiva. That are the three opinions in our Mishnah. Let's see this inside, it'll be easy to understand now. We'll start the beginning of the Mishnah again. Hakoveres meisa yishloisha yomim koidim leregel. If somebody was sitting Shiva 3 days already before Yom Tov sets in, bot lo imenu gzeiras Shiva, the restrictions of Shiva are no longer apply, they're cancelled. Shmoina, if he's already been 8 days since he started Shiva, which means the Shiva's been totally kept, and the first day of the Shloshim, day 8 after the burial, as he's already started the Shloshim, Botli Menu Gzeiras Shloshim, the restrictions of Shloshim get cancelled. It means Yom Tov, as we said, regular Yom Tov, if Zmafsik Vilo Oile, also Shiva, also Shloshim. If the Shiva started before Yom Tov comes, no more Shiva. The Shloshim started before Yom Tov comes, no more Shloshim. B'pnei Omru, Shabbos Oile Ve'enei Mafsekes, because our rule is that Shabbos is Oile, it's reckoned as one of the Shiva days, Ve'enei Mafsek, and it does not cut short the Shiva. Regolim, however, Yomim Tovim, Mafsikin Ve'enem Oilim, then they actually interrupt the Shiva, according to the Tanna of our Mishnah, assuming that there was 3 days before Yom Tov. If there wasn't 3 days before Yom Tov, the Yom Tov will not interrupt the Shiva. You'll have to carry on after Yom Tov making up the days of Shiva, but that's not what the Mishnah is not discussing that explicitly. Ve'einon oilim, and in the event that there was not 3 days before the Yom Tov where they sat Shiva, then the Yom Tov days are not included, are not counted or reckoned as part of the Shiva days. So if you had 2 days before Yom Tov and then Yom Tov came, then after Yom Tov, one has to sit Shiva another 5 days. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And maybe I've mentioned this before, and if not, it's important to remember, we should not be learning any halachas of Avelus from the Mishnayos and Gemara that we're learning inside. The halachas of Avelus are complex. There are many, many people who are not proficiently versed in halachas because, Baruch Hashem, it doesn't apply too often to any particular individual, and therefore, only when it comes to, unfortunately, it comes to Shailas Halacha L'maisa, one has to go to a competent authority, halachic authority, or sforim that have been written, Halacha L'maisa, to know what to do. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer. So now Rabbi Eliezer explains that Mishachorav Beis HaMikdosh, after the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, and Shavuos no longer has the 7 days of Tashlumim, and Shavuos is now just a one-day Yom Tov, Atzeres K'Shabbos, then there's no reason that Shavuos, even though it's a Yom Tov, should be different to regular Shabbos, as we explained according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that any day that you'd, even though you don't practice the halachas of Shiva, but there's no reason that they should interrupt the Shiva days, that they should cut the Shiva days short, and therefore it's oile v'loy mafsik. Rabbi Gamliel oime. Rabbi Gamliel says that Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippurim karagolim, because Rabbi Gamliel says that any time where you have a day that you do not practice the halachas, then even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which even in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh didn't have tashlumim, it's always only a one-day Yom Tov. Nonetheless, karagolim, it has the same status as Yom Tov, and of course Shavuos will be the same, irrespective of whether it's the time of the Beis HaMikdosh or after the Chorban, Shavuos will be the same, that it's like Yom Tov, that it is mafsik v'loy oile, and only Shabbos is different, as we explained. The Chachomim oimrim, loy kadivrei zeh v'loy kadivrei zeh. The Chachomim say, I don't agree entirely with Rebbe Eliezer, and I don't agree with Rebbe Gamliel. So he disagrees with Rebbe Gamliel, and he says that our guiding light is like Rebbe Elazar says, that it's like Shabbos. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not like Rebbe Gamliel says. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, being one day Yomim Tovim, is like Shabbos, says the Chachomim. And because the Chachomim, in their train of thought, agreed with the Chachomim, they agreed with Rebbe Elazar, and Rebbe Elazar said that any day, even though you don't keep the halachas, it does not interrupt the Shiva, it is oile v'loy mafsik. Just Yomim Tovim, we've got no choice because the Yom Tov itself is a 7 day Yom Tov. When it comes to Shavuos, this is the one point where even the Chachomim argue with Rebbe Eliezer, and they say that you, Rebbe Eliezer, said that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Shavuos becomes a 1 day Yom Tov like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Says the Chachomim, no, Elosh Atzeres Karagolim, even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Shavuos has the status of a regular Yom Tov as it did in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, a regular 7-day Yom Tov, and therefore it is Mafsik v'lo Oile. Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim, the Chachamim say that in this aspect they agree with Rabbi Eliezer, that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, not like Rabbi Gamliel who says it's like a Yom Tov, rather like Rabbi Eliezer who says that it's Keshabbos, it's like a regular Shabbos, that since it's just one day, it is Oile v'loi Mafsik. Says the Gemara Omar Rav, Gezeiras Botlu. What did we see in the Mishnah? That Botlu imenu Gezeiras Shiva, Shmoino Botlu imenu Gezeiras Shleishim. Which means that if you've had 8 days, which means a full Shiva, plus the first day of Shleishim, then that first day of Shleishim, and then you have on day 9, for example, you have Yom Tov, so the Mishnah that we saw in the Mishnah, that the Gezeiras Shleishim, the restrictions of the Shleishim, Botlu, they become cancelled. Says Rav, Omar Rav, Gezeiras Shleishim Botlu. That if a Yom Tov happens after you've started the Shleishim, then the restrictions of the Shleishim are cancelled. Yomim, will soon understand what relevance this has. Yomim Loi Botlu. However, the days, it's still considered as Shleishim days. They are considered as Shleishim days after Yom Tov. Just the restrictions of the Shleishim don't apply. We'll soon see what that means. V'chein amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said the same, like Rav, Gezeiras Shleishim are botlu, yomim loy botlu. The days are not cancelled, just the restrictions are cancelled. Rav Sheshes Omar, Rav Sheshes argued with Rav and Rav Huna and said, afilu yomim nami botlu. The days themselves are also cancelled and cut short, and that's it. It's as if there's no Shleishim. Asks the Gemara, my tama yomim loy botlu. What relevance does it have to say that we have the days of the Shleishim, but the restrictions don't apply? What ramifications does that have? Says the Gemara. The ramifications are, She'im lo'i gilech erev haregel, osa legalech achar haregel. If Shleishim, with its restrictions, would have applied, one of the halachos of Shleishim is one's not allowed to have a haircut. So if we say that the restrictions of, if you say that the Shleishim continues after Yom Tov, there's no reason that you should have a haircut before Yom Tov, for Yom Tov, because Yom Tov is part of the Shleishim. So if you say that Gezeiras, so if we said in our Mishnah that when Yom Tov comes that the Shleishim have been cancelled, then the restrictions have been cancelled, what does that mean? That regarding Yom Tov, you can actually assume that there's no Shleishim. And since on Yom Tov itself, Shleishim is going to be over, you're allowed to have a haircut on Erev Yom Tov, which we've discussed a little bit before and we're still going to discuss again. But that means the restrictions being bottled for Yom Tov has ramifications that you can have your haircut before Yom Tov. What happens if you didn't have a haircut before Yom Tov? Then day 8, you could have had a haircut because the restrictions are bottled. You didn't have your haircut on day 8. Day 9 was Yom Tov. Now it's after Yom Tov. Still in the middle of Shleishim. Are you allowed to have a haircut now? So that's going to depend on this machlokes. If you say Yomim Loi Botlu, according to Rav and Rav Huna, Osa Legalech Achar Regel, the days are not bottle. And that means the days are not cancelled. The restrictions were cancelled as far as Yom Tov is concerned. You didn't use that leeway to have your haircut before Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, you're not allowed to have a haircut. However, according to Rav Sheshes, who says Yomim Nami Botlu, that the concept of Shleishim is cancelled, then you can have a haircut after Yom Tov. It's just as if there's no Shleishim. V'otanya, and proof to this is in the Braisa. Says the Braisa, HaKoyver Esmeisa Shleisha Yomim, somebody who's already sat Shiva for 3 full days, Koydim L'Regel, before the Yom Tov, Botlu Imenu Gzeiras Shiva. Then, I mean, not before the Shleishim, that's right, if he sat Shiva for 3 days for Yom Tov, that's it. There's no more Shiva. The Shiva's been cancelled. Shmoino Yomim, as we saw in the Mishnah, as we saw before, there's a concept of 8 days, and the Mishnah also spoke about Shmoino. We'll soon see why that's important. But once you've already had 8 days, 7 days of Shiva, 1 day of Shleishim, Shmoino Yomim Koidim L'Regel, Bot Lo Yimenu Gzeiras Shleishim, then the concept of Shleishim is cancelled, Umagaleach Erev HaRegel, and therefore on Erev Yom Tov, on day 8, even though day 8 is the first day of Shleishim, since day 8 is the day which is Erev Yom Tov, and Yom Tov is going to cancel the Shleishim, therefore you can have your haircut on Erev HaRegel, Erev Yom Tov. And this is the important bit, And this is going to be explicitly like Rav and Rav Huna. Im loy gilech erev haregel, if you did not utilize that and have your hair cut on erev yom tov, osur legalech achar haregel. Then the days in themselves haven't been cancelled, haven't been cut short, just the restrictions were cut short for Yom Tov. You didn't take use of them. After Yom Tov, you're not allowed to have the haircut till the end of the Shloshim. Abba Shaul, argues, and he's going to say, like Rav Sheshes, Mutla Galeach Achar Regel. Abba Shaul says that after Yom Tov, that once Yom Tov arrives, there's no more restrictions of Shloshim, the days of Shloshim are cancelled, and after Yom Tov, it's as if there's no Shloshim, and you can have your haircut, even if you didn't have a haircut before Yom Tov. Continues the Braisa, Kashem Shemitzvahs Shloisho Mevateles Gzeiras Shiva, Kach Mitzvahs Shiva Mevateles Gzeiras Shloshim. And this is an Abba Shaul continuation of Abba Shaul's statement, in the same way as 3 days of Shiva cancels and stops the Shiva, so too mitzvahs Shiva. If you've had 7 days of Shiva, Mevateles Gzeiras Shloshim. You'll note he's talking about 7 days of Shiva is enough Mevateles Gzeiras Shloshim that if on day 8 is Yom Tov, it cancels the Shloshim. Which is very interesting, because we said till now you need the first day of Shloshim, day 8. The Tanakhama said explicitly, Shmoina Yomim Koidim L'Regel, Botli Menu Gzeiras Shloshim. Abba Shaul says, Shiva Mevateles Gzeiras Shloshim. And the Gemara is about to ask that. Shiva? You're mentioning 7. V'anant Shmoinot Nant. Does it not say now, Mishnah, that 8 days, it's 8 days since the burial, you've had a whole Shiva plus the first day of Shloshim, only then Yom Tov on day 9 can interrupt the Shloshim. How can you have just sat Shiva? The Shloshim haven't even started when Yom Tov sets in. Yom Tov itself is day 8. How does that cancel the Shloshim? Answers the Gemara, Kosova Abba Shaul. Besides for Abba Shaul arguing as to how Yom Tov interrupts and cancels and cuts short the Shloshim, that the Tanakhama say that you have to, if you didn't have your haircut before Yom Tov, you cannot have a haircut after Yom Tov. And Abba Shaul said no. Abba Shaul said it cancels it entirely, and you can even have a haircut after Yom Tov. There's another machlekas. Abba Shaul says Miktsas Hayom Kekuloi. Even part of the day is considered as if it was a full day. The Chachomim say, the Tanakhama said no. They said you need a full Shiva, 7 full days, and then day 8 is Shloshim, the first day of the Shloshim, and, well, the Shloshim doesn't end 30 days after day 8, it ends 30 days after the burial, but the first day where we practice Shloshim is on day 8, and only after day 8. If you have Yom Tov on day 9 and on, then it cancels the Shloshim. Says Abba Shaul, no. Day 7 itself, as soon as you've had an hour, a minute, whatever, miktsas, a part of the day, of the seventh day, it's considered as if you've done 7 days of Shiva, and actually the halachas of Shiva actually terminate after part of the day. What's with the rest of the day? The rest of the day is Shloshim. So Shloshim doesn't actually start on day 8, it actually starts sometime in day 7. So that's why Abba Shaul says, if you've had 7 days from the burial, you've actually also finished the Shiva and also started the Shloshim. V'yoyim ha-shvi, the seventh day, oyle loy lekan ulekan. It's counted as Shiva and counted as Shloshim. And therefore, if Yom Tov is day 8, you've already started the Shloshim on day 7, and Yom Tov will cancel the Shloshim. Says the Gemara, Omer of Chizda, Omer Ravino, Bar Shilo, Halochik Abba Shaul. The Halochik is like Abba Shaul, that, like we saw, Umoidim Chachomim la Abba Shaul, and this is interesting, the Chachomim say that even though regarding the end of Shiva and the beginning of Shloshim, we don't say Miktas Hayoim Kekuloi, you just say, I need a full day 7 for Shiva, day 8 starts the Shloshim, says the Gemara, that the Chachomim say, they agree that when do we say Miktas Hayoim Kekuloi? Kashachol Shmini Sheloi Liyos B'Shabbos. What happens if day 8 is on Shabbos? Erev HaRegel and Motzah Shabbos, Sunday is Yom Tov. So Shiva starts finished on Thursday. Shiva finished on Friday. Shabbos is the first day of Shloshim. Sunday is Yom Tov. So over there, Shemut Legaleach Erev Shabbos. Even though Erev Shabbos is still day 7 of the Shiva, and the Chachomim say, we don't say Miktas Hayom Kekuloi, you need the whole day of 7 in order, and then start the Shloshim on day 8. That's true. You have to start the Shloshim before Yom Tov sets in. But we said before that Shabbos doesn't interrupt Shiva or Shloshim. Some restrictions don't apply on Shabbos, but they doesn't interrupt the Shiva and the Shloshim. And therefore the Chachamim agree that if day 8 was on Shabbos, which means that Yom Tov started on day 9 and Shloshim did start before Yom Tov, namely on Shabbos, because the Shiva finished on Friday. Nonetheless, they agree that on that day 7 on Friday, Miktas Hayom Kekula is enough to allow me to have a haircut on Erev Shabbos on the 7th day of the Shiva, L'chvoid Yom Tov. Since Yom Tov on Sunday is going to cancel the Shloshim, then now on day 7, which Abba Shaul says on day 7, you can always, that day 7 is always considered the first day of Shloshim. And if Yom Tov is on day 8, you can have your haircut on day 7. The Chachamim say no. If Yom Tov is on day 8, you cannot have a haircut on day 7, because Shloshim hasn't started. I need a whole day of Shiva. If Yom Tov is on day 9, and Yom Tov is going to cancel the Shloshim, then if on Shabbos you couldn't have a haircut, because on Shabbos you can't have a haircut, it's one of the halachos of Shabbos, then you use Miktas Hayom Kekulay, and on Erev Shabbos, Mutar Legaleach Erev Shabbos. That's how Rashi here explains it, and Tosfos and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis explains this Gemara. Continues the Gemara, Kaman Oz Lehoda Omer of Amram Amar Rav. Which opinion is Rav following? That Rav says, Ovil, at Sunday morning, Kivan She'omdu Menachmin Me'etzlei, on the 7th day of Shiva, as soon as those who have come to console him have already left him, which means that he's kept Shiva a little bit on the 7th day, Mutar Berechitza, he's now already allowed to wash himself, something that was also during Shiva, which means that the Shiva restrictions have been terminated in the middle of the 7th day, as soon as the people who came to console him have left, says the Gemara Kamank, Abba Shaul. It's obviously talking about Abba Shaul, who says, Miktas Hayom Kekulay, after a part of day 7 has been practiced as Shiva, the rest is that already starts the halachas of Shloshim, and Shloshim you're allowed to wash, and therefore it's Mutar Berechitza. Continues the Gemara, Omar Abaya, halacha ka Abba Shaul, b'yoim Shiva. Abaya says that halacha is like Abba Shaul, that on the 7th day is that the part of the 7th day has the halachas of Shiva, and the rest has the halachas of Shloshim. Umoidim chachomim la Abba Shaul. The chachomim agree to Abba Shaul, that you say miktas hayom kekulay is b'yoim Shloshim, da omrin on miktas hayom kekulay. Here Abaya says that regarding Shloshim, until now we're discussing the Miktas Hayom Kekulay of day 7 of Shiva, the transition between Shiva and Shloshim. How about the end of Shloshim, the transition between Shloshim and after Shloshim? The difference will be you're allowed to have a haircut. So Abaya says that the Chachomim agreed to Abba Shaul that on the 30th day of the Shloshim, there Miktas Hayom Kekulay, and after, as long as you've kept part of day 30 with Shloshim, the rest of the day you can have your haircut. That's Abaya's opinion. Domrin on Miktas Hayom Kekulay. Rava Omar, halacha ka Abba Shaul b'yom Shloshim. Rava says the halacha is like Abba Shaul on the day 30, that after part of the day 30, he can already have his haircut. V'ein halacha ka Abba Shaul b'yom Shiva. But on day 7, halacha is not like Abba Shaul. Halacha is like the Chachomim, that you need a full day of Shiva, and the Shloshim start only on day 8. V'naradoi Omri, in Narado, they held that halacha ka Abba Shaul b'zu b'zu. The halacha is like Abba Shaul, also by Shiva, also by Shloshim, that Miktas Hayom Kekulay. Why? Why is he being lenient? Do Omar Shmuel halacha kedivra meikel ba'ovel. We've seen this a few times on Daf Yud Ches, and we're going to see more, that the halacha, Shmuel maintains the halacha is like Abba Shaul. The halacha is always like the more lenient opinion. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going to discuss the Issa, the prohibition to have a haircut during Shloshim. So Shloshim Yoim Minolon. This, the issa to have a haircut, to shave during the Shloshim, what would be the source for that? Says the Gemara, Yalif Pora Pora Minozir. The word Pera means to let grow, it means not to have a haircut, and we learn it from Nozir. Ksiv Hocha, it says here in the Pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron ulelozor isomer, Bonov. That Moshe said to Aaron and his children, who were actually in mourning because Nadav and Avihu had passed away, he says, Rosheichem al tifro. Right, you, only you, in contrast to all other people ever in mourning, you, Aaron HaKohen and Elazar and Isamar, you should not, Sheichem al tifro, do not let your hair grow. You should continue shaving. You should continue cutting your hair. Ubigdeichem lo sifroimu, etc., as we've already learnt about this pasuk earlier on. So it says explicitly regarding the halachas of mourning, it says Rav Sheichem al tifro. It uses the term of tifro. Uchsiv hasam. And regarding nazirus, there's a whole maseches nazir we're going to learn about it. But one of the halachas of nazir is you're not allowed to have a haircut. It says in the pasuk, kol yemei neder nizrei tar lo yaver al roishoy ad melois hayomim asher yazid lashem asher yazir lashem kodesh ye gadel pera sar roishoy. It says there also the term pera, and you're not allowed to cut your hair. So here we have two psukim that speak about the restrictions of having a haircut. One is by avelus, the other one is by nozir. Ma la'alon, in the same way as regarding nozir, shloishim, the minimum term of nazirus is 30 days, the standard nazirus is 30 days, unless otherwise explicitly verbalized. Afkan, so too, the halachas of not cutting your hair, which are associated to shloishim of mourning, is 30 days. V'hosominalon. The Gemara is now saying, okay, so you're learning avelos from nazirus. Who told you that nazir is 30 days? The Torah doesn't say 30 days, it just says kol yemei neder in Israel. Who told you it's 30 days? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Masna, stam nazirus leishim yom. It's before the source. He just said to him, because the nazirus could be any length of time. So the Gemara asked, what makes you think that nazirus is 30 days? The answer is a standard nazirus is 30 days. If you didn't explicitly say otherwise, standard nazirus is 30 days. And now the Gemara asks, my Tama, what would be the source for that? In the Pasuk, Omar Kro, it says in that same Pasuk, Kodesh ye gadil peras aroshei. When it says Kodesh, he should be sanctified, he should be Kodesh yihye, he should be yihye. The word ye, begmatria, has the numerical value of tlosin hava of 30. And since the numerical value of nazir of year is 30, so that alludes to the fact that a stam nazirus, a regular standard nazirus, unless otherwise specified, is 30 days. Once you know that nazirus is 30 days, we learn out pera, the halachas of avelus from the nazirus, and the halachas of not cutting hair is 30 days. This is the source. Continues the Gemara Omer of Huna Breda Yeshua. Hakil Moedim, even Abba Shaul agrees. Because we said in the Mishnah, you need at least 3 days of Shiva in order for the Shiva to be cut off, in order for the Shiva to be cut off. So Rav Huna says that even Abba Shaul agrees that if you only had 2 days of Shiva, if you've had 3 days of Shiva, כשחול שלישי שלו יליאס ערב הרגל, שעושה ברחיצה עד הערב. He doesn't say מקצס היום ככולוי on day 3, that part of day 3 is Shiva and part of day 3 is Shloishim and he can bathe and wash. No, Abba Shaul agrees that day 3 has to be full 3 days of Shiva and he's not allowed to wash until the end of the third day. Omer of Nechemia, Bereid Rav Yeshua, Ashkachtinu l'Rav Popi u'l'Rav Popa. I met Rav Popi and Rav Popa. The Yosvuk Omra Halacha k'Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. They were sitting and they said the halacha like Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua that we just said now that Abba Shaul agrees that on day 3 being Erev Yom Tov, even though Yom Tov is going to interrupt the Shiva, but we don't say Miktasayim Kukuloi there and you have to keep the halachas of Shiva till the end of the day. Ikud Omra, others say, Omra of Nechemia Bereid Rav Yosef, Rav Nechemia said that Ashkachtinu l'Rav Popi u'l'Rav Papa u'l'Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua the Yosvu k'omra. I mean, it's not like we said before that Rav Nechemia said that he saw Rav Popi and Rav Papa. Here it says that Rav Nechemia saw Rav Popi, Rav Papa, and Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua. That the Yosvu k'omra hakel moedim shem chol shlishi shelo ilias erev regel she'osu b'rachitza ad ha'erev. That means we started off saying Omer Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, who said this halacha. And then Rav Nechemia said, I met Rav Papa and Rav Papi, who said, the halacha is like Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua. In the second version, the halacha is the same. But in the second version, it wasn't Rav Huna said something and Rav Papi and Rav Papa held and ruled like him. No. Rav Papi, Rav Papa, and Rav Huna were sitting together and they said this halacha. Continue. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.